Good morning, Besorot Tovot. I want to add an idea that I had. I must qualify the idea immediately with the fact that when I first said this idea to my wife, she wasn't so excited by it. And the idea was triggered, actually, it came out of nowhere. But it fits in, I think, with a comment of the Netziv. The Netziv is commenting on the words, Biyad Chazaka Uvizroa Netuya. Biyad Chazaka, says the Midrash, is like a hand is holding a bird and the bird can't get away. So Biyad Chazaka is to loosen the grip of the hand on the bird. But even if you've loosened the grip of the hand on the bird, Zroa Netuya, if the bird won't fly, it will not attain freedom. And therefore you need both. And the implication in those words of the Netziv, it's not enough to get the Egyptians to tell the Jews to leave Egypt. We need the Jews to want to leave Egypt too. And I remember the first time I came across that Netziv's comment, I thought, well, that's strange. Surely they would be dying to leave. It was only a number of years later where I was learning the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah explains that we know that the plagues in Egypt took about 10 to 11 months to occur. There was a week of warning. Each plague is about 3 weeks long. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that halfway through the year of the plagues, the Jews were no longer avadim, meaning that they were no longer slaves in Egypt. The reality of a Jew in Egypt had changed. I never really thought about that for more than 2 minutes. And then one occasion when I was going through that Gemara, I had the following thought. When Moshe first comes to Egypt, the Jewish people are slaves, and they are in a lot of trouble. And Moshe comes with the promise of redemption. And the people are so excited by it that when it doesn't happen exactly the way Moshe said it would happen, both Moshe and the people are upset. In fact, Moshe turns around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of Parashat Shemot and says, Lama zeh shelachtani? What did you send me for? I knew they were going to say no, but I didn't think Pharaoh was going to make it worse. And the people want to stone Moshe. They're finished with this. What, you came in with promises of redemption? And what have you done? You've caused absolute agony to our people. It's got worse. The slavery has got worse. The oppression is more intense. And the people are desperate. But the people were in such a desperate way that they were ready to hear Moshe. Because what? Because there were two choices when Moshe Rabbeinu first turned up in Egypt. The choice was to remain as slaves, to remain as an oppressed people, to be dying in the hands of Pharaoh. The alternative was to leave. Those were the only two alternatives. But it suddenly occurred to me, if halfway through the year they were no longer slaves, there is a third option. Suddenly, there is a third option. This is Ladati, this is Pshat in the Gemara. What's the third option? The third option is we can stay in Egypt. Meaning, if previously, if at the beginning when we were slaves in Egypt, so we could either leave with Moshe or remain slaves. So we choose to leave because to remain slaves isn't a viable option. Oh, but if after half a year we are no longer slaves, there is now a third option. We don't need to go lechtech acharai b'midbar. We don't need to walk out into the midbar, into a desolate desert, following a god we hardly know and don't know whether we believe in. We can stay here. We're not slaves anymore. And now, in that context, suddenly the words of the Netziv become very, very relevant, meaning, at some stage in this process where the reality of the Jews in Egypt had altered, had changed. Suddenly Jews are thinking, wait a minute. We don't have to be slaves here. We don't have to go into the midbar. We could stay here. It's comfortable. We could stay here. And therefore we need Yad Chazaka. We need to loosen the grip of Pharaoh. But we need Zroa Netuya. We need the Jews to want to leave. And we know. We know from the Midrash, and you do the math, because we take this Midrash literally, the Embassy Yaakov took this Midrash literally. We know that 4/5 of the Jewish people, Hamushim, 4/5 of the Jewish people died in the plagues of darkness. If we do the Cheshbon, that about 2 million Jews left Egypt, again, 600,000 men between 20 and 60, and just a calculation, perhaps close to 2 million Jews left Egypt. It means what? It means if 4/5 of the Jews died during the plague of Choshech, which was just a month before Geula, and 2 million people left, it means 8 million Jews died in the plague of Choshech. Number one, that's an incredible statement by the Emes Yaakov. And he says, what would you do if you were a Jew and you woke up and you found 8 million Jews dead? You wouldn't expect Geula to happen a month later. That happens to have been, he doesn't say this, but that happens to have been the reality of Am Yisrael after Shoah, not a third of the Jewish people, not a tenth of the Jewish people weren't decimated, we were tertiated, as Menachem Begin loved to say. A third of the Jewish people was destroyed. People woke up one morning, they wouldn't have dreamt that there would have been a Medina 3 years later, after the views of Auschwitz, the scenes of Auschwitz in January 1945. He doesn't make that comment, but that seems to be the implication. It's not a Zionist implication by Rabbi Yaakov, but B'chol Mikra, the implication that Geula can come next to disaster, that's his comment there. But I'm taking it from a different angle, the angle being that 8 million Jews did not leave Egypt, didn't want to leave Egypt, and they died in the plague of Choshech Kanira. And so suddenly we have a much more complex sipur of Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Yetziat Mitzrayim, and I mentioned it a number of days ago when I spoke about the Korban Pesach, when the Am Yisrael have to come out of Egypt, and the Melachei Asharet turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're saying, listen, what's the difference between Egyptians and Jews? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us two mitzvot milah, brit milah, which is on the goof, and Korban Pesach. And to this day, these are only two positive mitzvot that you get a chiyuv of karis for if you do not fulfill. Other positive mitzvot, if you do not fulfill, it's a missed opportunity. But if you do not fulfill mila or korban pesach, you have karis. Now, what does that mean? But what does it mean in the reality in Egypt? What did people have to do? People had to go into the metropolis of Egypt. They had to slaughter the Egyptian god and put the blood on its doorposts. This is decision time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Am Yisrael, you have to decide, do you want to come out, or do you prefer the option of staying in Egypt and assimilating in Egypt? What do you want to do? You have the choice. And it's a different facet of Yetziat Mitzrayim that I've never really thought of about before. That Am Yisrael had to make a choice. They had to make a choice. What do they want to do? Where is their Jewish identity? Do they want to leave Egypt? Do they want to leave the Galut? It's an active decision. It's a very, very difficult decision. You know, I had a very good friend who died quite a number of years ago, and I remember the Shabbat before I made Aliyah was Shabbat Parshat Lech Lecha. I didn't fix it that way. It's just the way it turned out to be. It was a Jewish agency thing at the time. They fixed the dates and it worked out, Parshat Lech Lecha. I remember him very, very clearly, David Simon, Zichro Livracha. He came up to me on the Shabbos in the youth service in Edgware, and he said to me, you know, this is the one mitzvah Aliyah that you're making, which I think is the easiest mitzvah to do. And I kind of laughed. I said, what are you talking about? This is the hardest mitzvah to do. I'm leaving everything. I didn't have anything in Israel. I didn't have any family. I had a couple of old relations in Chadir. I had nothing in Israel. My younger sister hadn't made Aliyah yet. My parents were in England. My older sister was in England. My grandma, both grandmas were in England. And my whole family was in England. I had nothing in Israel. And it was the hardest. I said, what are you talking about? This is probably the only mitzvah I've ever done in my life, which is Lishma, meaning with all of my B'nai Akiva education, even coming off the back of a year working for B'nai Akiva and having publicly stated on the previous Yom HaSmot that I was making Aliyah and giving the date, 15th of November, 1989, I still had that hitlaptut. I still wasn't sure that I wanted to leave the Galut. Because there were options to work for Am Yisrael in Chutz Lutz, which is very important. I could have furthered from my degree to do smicha in England and maybe become a rabbi in England. There were so many different options open for me. I'd had a great year in B'nai Akiva, and it had spurred me on to work more in the community. And I had that hitlaptut. It's Pesach shouldn't be seen as a clear-cut reality for Am Yisrael, because by the time we were told we were leaving Egypt, we were no longer slaves. Our predicament had changed. It was not the same as it was at the beginning of Shemot, where we only had two choices, be slaves or be free. Suddenly we could be free and live in Egypt. That's how I understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and that's how I understand the Gemara fitting in with the comments of the Netziv on that Midrash. Be'yad chazakah v'zroan tuyah. It's not enough, the Yad chazakah, to loosen the grip of the Egyptians on the Jews. The bird has to want to fly. The bird has to want to leave, and you need to be courageous to do that. You have to make a choice in the same way that the Jews by Korban Pesach made an incredible choice. They went into the metropolis and shechted what the Egyptians considered to be a god, Ad Kadei Kach, that when Achei Yosef came down to Egypt and Yosef didn't want them to work for Pharaoh, he said, "Say your shepherds," because this is repulsive to the Egyptians. And almost 210 years later, the Jews, that's the way. They go in and they shecht, and then they put the blood on their mezuzahs. I mentioned to you a few days ago, not taking their mezuzahs off the door because they're frightened of what might happen to them, but on the contrary, Dafka, taking the blood of the lamb of the Egyptians and putting it on their doorposts. This is a statement of commitment of Am Yisrael. Fits in with what I said yesterday. It's the Ahava of Anila Dodiva Dodili. It is this beautiful commitment of Am Yisrael to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it shouldn't be taken. We speak so many times, and I have mentioned so many times, of the passive element of Pesach. Mitzad Sheini. It's not all passive. There is a conscious decision of Am Yisrael to fly out of Egypt, to leave Egypt, to leave the Galut and go to a place that we know nothing of. It's not just Lech Lecha Me'asacha Mulatacha Mi'Beit Avicha, leaving all of those things, even in Egypt, because you're used to Egyptian culture, you're used to your Egyptian neighborhood. It's a land that I will show you. It's not a land that you know. It's not a culture you recognize. It's not things that you are used to. It's not things that you've done before. You have to be courageous to make this decision. And if I do nothing else in my life, I am proud of the fact that at the age of 23, I made that decision. And it was, to a degree, Lechtech Acharei Bamidbar Eretz Lo Zuar. It wasn't a midbar when I came to Israel, but for me it was a midbar. And I don't think it's so different to Yetziat Mitzrayim. And again, the only way one can understand what I'm saying today is by understanding the predicament of Am Yisrael, which has changed since the beginning of the plagues, because halfway through the year, Am Yisrael were no longer slaves in Egypt, according to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Have a good day.